Rat Farrer, written by Josephine Tay and read by Carol Boyd.
Chapter 1. Aunt Bee, said Jane, breathing heavily into her soup, was Noah a cleverer backroom boy than Ulysses, or was Ulysses a cleverer backroom boy than Noah? Don't eat out of the point of your spoon, Jane. I can't mobilise the strings out of the side. Ruth does. Jane looked across at her twin, negotiating the vermicelli with smug neatness. She has a stronger suck than I have. Aunt Bee has a face like a very expensive cat, Ruth said, eyeing her aunt sideways. Bee privately thought that this was a very good description, but wished that Ruth wouldn't be quaint. No, but which was the cleverest? Said Jane, who never departed from a path once her feet were on it. Cleverer, said Ruth. Was it Noah or Ulysses? Simon, which was it, do you think?
Ulysses, said her brother, not looking up from his paper.
It was so like Simon, Bee thought, to be reading the list of runners at Newmarket, peppering his soup and listening to the conversation at one and the same time.
Why, Simon? Why Ulysses?
He hadn't Noah's good Met service. Whereabouts was Firelight in the free handicap, do you remember?
Oh, way down, Bee said.
A coming of age is a little like a wedding, isn't it, Simon?
This was Ruth.
Better on the whole.
Is it?
You can stay and dance at your own coming of age, which you can't at your wedding.
I shall stay and dance at my wedding.
I wouldn't put it past you. Oh, dear, thought Bee. I suppose there are families that have conversation at meals, but I don't know how they manage it. Perhaps I haven't been strict enough. She looked down the table at the three bent heads and Eleanor's still vacant place and wondered if she'd done right by them. Would Bill and Nora be pleased with what she'd made of their children? If by some miracle they could walk in now, young and fine-looking and gay as they had gone to their deaths, would they say, "Ah, yes, that's just how we pictured them, even to Jane's ragamuffin look." Bee's eyes smiled as they rested on Jane. The twins were 9 going on 10 and identical. Identical, that is to say, in the technical sense. In spite of their physical resemblance, there was never any doubt as to which was Jane and which was Ruth. They had the same straight flaxen hair, the same small-boned face and pale skin, the same direct gaze with a challenge in it. But there the identity stopped. Jane was wearing rather grubby jodhpurs and shapeless jersey festooned with pulled ends of wool. Her hair was pushed back without aid of mirror and held in the uncompromising clasp of a Kirby grip so old that it had reverted to its original steel colour, as old hairpins do. She was slightly astigmatic, and when in the presence of authority was in the habit of wearing horn-rimmed spectacles. Normally they lived in the hip pocket of her breeches, and they had been lain upon, leant upon, and sat upon so often that she lived in a permanent state of bankruptcy, breakages over the yearly allowance having to be paid for out of her money-box. She rode to and fro to lessons at the rectory on 4-poster, the old white pony, her short legs sticking out on either side of him like straws. 4-poster had long ago become a conveyance rather than a ride, so it didn't matter that his great barrel was as manageable as a feather bed, and almost as wide. Ruth, on the other hand, wore a pink cotton frock as fresh as when she'd set off on her bicycle that morning for the rectory. Her hands were clean and the nails unbroken, and somewhere she'd found a pink ribbon and had tied the 2 side pieces of her hair in a bow on the top of her head. 8 years, Bee was thinking. 8 years of contriving, conserving and planning. And in 6 weeks' time, her stewardship would come to an end. In little more than a month, Simon would be 21 and would inherit his mother's fortune, and the lean years would be over.